Reverie, a manifesto of sorts, published in New Worlds, autumn 1939, not previously collected in book form.
All the ideas in science fiction have been used up. How often we've heard this moan from editors, authors, and fans, any one of whom should know better. Even if it were true, which is the last thing it is, it would signify nothing. How long ago do you think the themes of ordinary mundane fiction were used up? Somewhere in the late Paleolithic, I should say. Which fact has made exactly no difference to the overwhelming outrush of modern masterpieces, for a shilling in the third tray from the left. No. The existing material is sufficient to provide an infinite number of stories, each individual and each worth reading. Too much stress is laid on new ideas or thought variants, on novi. They are all very well in their way, and it's a way that leads to strange, delightful regions of fantasy, but at least as important are characterization and the ability to treat a commonplace theme in your own individual style. And for this reason, in spite of all his critics, I maintain that if any could equal Weinbaum, none could surpass him. If, in addition to its purely literary qualities, a story has a novel idea, so much the better. Notwithstanding the pessimists, there are a million themes that science fiction has never touched. Even in these days of deepening depression, a few really original plots still lighten our darkness. The Smile of the Sphinx was such a one. Going a good deal further back, we have The Human Termites, perhaps the best of all its kind before the advent of Sinister Barrier. As long as science advances, as long as mathematics discovers incredible worlds where twice two would never dream of equaling four, so new ideas will come tumbling into the mind of anyone who will let his thoughts wander, passport in hand, along the borders of possibility. There are no customs regulations. Anything you see in your travels in those neighboring lands, you can bring back with you. But in the country of the impossible, there are many wonders too delicate and too fragile to survive transportation. Nothing in this world is ever really new, yet everything is in some way different from all that has gone before. At least once in his life, even the dullest of us has found himself contemplating with amazement, and perhaps with fear, some thought so original and so startling that it seems the creation of an exterior, infinitely more subtle mind. Such thoughts pass through the consciousness so swiftly that they are gone before they can be more than glimpsed. But sometimes, like comets trapped at last by a giant sun, they cannot escape. And from their stubborn material, the mind forges a masterpiece of literature, of philosophy, or music. From such fleeting, fragmentary themes are the symphonies of Sibelius built. Perhaps, with the theory of relativity and the conquest of space, the greatest achievements of the century before the year 2000. Even within the limits set by logic, the artist need not starve for lack of material. We may laugh at Fern, but we must admire the magnificent, if undisciplined, fertility of his mind. In a less ephemeral field, Stapledon has produced enough themes to keep a generation of science fiction authors busy. There is no reason why others should not do the same. Few of the really fundamental ideas of fantasy have been properly exploited. Who has ever, in any story, dared to show the true meaning of immortality, with its cessation of progress and evolution, and above all, its inevitable destruction of youth? Only Keller, and then more with sympathy than genius. And who has had the courage to point out that, with sufficient scientific powers, reincarnation is possible? What a story that would make. All around us, in the commonest things we do, lie endless possibilities. So many things might happen and don't, but may someday. How odd it would be if someone to whom you were talking on the phone walked into the room and began a conversation with a colleague. Suppose that when you switched off the light last thing at night, you found that it had never been on anyway. And what a shock it would be if you woke up to find yourself fast asleep. It would be quite as unsettling as meeting oneself in the street. I have often wondered, too, what would happen if one adopted the extreme solipsist attitude and decided that nothing existed outside one's mind. An attempt to put such a theory into practice would be extremely interesting. Whether any forces at our command could affect a devoted adherent to this philosophy is doubtful. He could always stop thinking of us, and then we should be in a mess. At a generous estimate, there have been a dozen fantasy authors with original conceptions. Today, I can only think of two, though the pages of Unknown may bring many more to light. The trouble with present-day science fiction, as with a good many other things, is that in striving after the bizarre, it misses the obvious. What it needs is not more imagination, or even less imagination. It is some imagination.